Hi, this is Jesse Kurtz, executive producer and lead anchor of the Mountain West Network, and you're listening to The Whole Show on 1310 KFKA.
Welcome back. Talking some more Denver Nuggets here on the show with our friend Chris Dempsey of Altitude TV. Somehow, someway, Chris, the Nuggets pull it off. They get it in overtime. And Nikola Jokic, just one of his best performances, certainly in a while, and he's had amazing performances. Had a rough go a few nights ago. It was nice to see that. 39 points, gets the triple double, and the Nuggets get back to 500.
Yeah, and he was aggressive at the start of the game, and then he made all the plays at winning time, and. You're right. This road trip has been interesting for Nikola because you've had some teams, defend him different ways. We've seen him, struggle in a couple of second halves. I think it's been described a couple times as well. He had an off shooting game, and really what it's been, especially when you're talking about the Orlando game, and then forget the second one. You are talking about second half. That got away from him. He was just 2-11 in the second half in Orlando. He was just fine in the first half in Orlando. And so it's been an interesting road trip for him. So I think it was probably important to him that he, had a good second half. And honestly, he spent a big chunk of the second half not scoring until about the last 2-3 minutes of the fourth quarter when the game was really on the line. Then he just all of a sudden just took over and, scored 17 out of the last 24 points when you're talking about the overtime total as well. And it was just exactly what the Nuggets needed. Sometimes these are why all these teams want star players, and you want players that impact games and impact winning, and you can put – an outcome on their back and reasonably expect that it's going to come out in your favor. The Nuggets have that with Nikola Jokic. He's the reigning MVP, and he showed that yesterday.
Yeah, he's playing like it. You see it in games like that, and you go, wow, he is the best player in the league. Obviously, Steph Curry's doing crazy things with the Warriors, and they're number one in the West. So, I mean, those things kind of going into it. But this was a nice win for this Nuggets team, floating around that 500 mark. But, Chris, they're trying to change things up coming out of the half to get more energy going. Monte Morris talked about the layup line. They did the layup line. The Pelicans still come out with all the energy. The Nuggets, again, as we talked about, found a way to get the win, but I know they're trying desperately to figure that out. Come out of the half with a lot of energy.
Yeah, it's a good question. They are busily trying to figure it out in terms of what might help them get out to better starts in the third quarter. And I guess I am looking at it a little bit more as let's just stay away from the 5 minutes of a 12-2 run or something like that. Because, not in every single one of these third quarters have they gotten off to the bad start. Like in Chicago, they were winning with 6 minutes to go in the third quarter. It was 60-57 at that point. But then what happened was Chicago goes on a massive run, massive. And by the time you get to about 7 minutes in the fourth quarter, you're down 100-83. And that started the second half of the third quarter. And so I think for me, it's one part, okay, you want to get off to a good start in the third quarter. But if you have a lead at halftime, if you're playing a team even through the first half of the third quarter, that's cool. That's cool. Just don't have these moments in time where the game starts to really get away from you. And get away from you to a point where now it's hard for you or maybe impossible for you to get back into the game. And so it's a very complex issue for the Nuggets. Yeah, I mean, and you can see, I think Michael Malone talked about doing some sort of dance at halftime, all this kind of things. And so everybody's trying to get it sorted out. And Brady, it's interesting because they lived in this space for a little while in the past. They've lived in these dual spaces. One, they had this moment in time where they couldn't, their first quarters were bad, and they couldn't come out and with any energy. And finally, they got that. But in the third quarters, they were always coming out with energy, and they were always making great adjustments. And there was In the third quarters were never a problem. The first quarters were. Okay, so then they got the first quarters figured out. Then the third quarters became a problem. Then they got the first and third quarters figured out. But now we're back in the space where the third quarters are the issue. So it's a kind of a constant state of being for the Nuggets. But I think in addition to starting off these things well, they just need to continue to be consistent throughout the quarter as well.
Chris Dempsey joining us from Altitude TV. Chris, is it a real concern that they're going to wear the choker out? I know Malone has talked about that quite a bit as far as do we need to up his minutes? That's not good for his, you know, the long game with him. You know, we've heard earlier this season where he said at this rate, he's going to be worn out by the All-Star break. Is there any real concern there that we're going to be wearing this guy out by the time we get to, hopefully, Jamal Murray back in this lineup?
You know, I don't think so. I'm still of the opinion that, I mean, these are still young men.
Yeah.
You know, I mean,
yeah.
He's playing 32. I'm looking this up right this right now. He's playing about 33 minutes per game. All right. That's second on the team to Will Barton's playing almost 34 minutes per game. But I think the concern for Michael Malone is that they're heavy minutes. You know, not even so much that they're a ton of minutes, because he's really not playing a ton of minutes each game, but they're heavy minutes because of the load that he must assume to carry while, you know, the other two max contract guys are not playing. And I do understand that. And so every time that we are praising him for a situation like what he did last night, Michael Malone's kind of going, oh, man, you know, he's on one hand happy because they need the win, but on the other hand, he's like, boy, it's just another night of me having to lean in 100% to Nikola Jokic. And so I get it from that standpoint. But you know what? I also think I'm torn on this issue, Brady, because it'd be different if his minutes were around 36, 37 and they were this heavy. I'd be a little more concerned. But I think it's kind of the price of doing business when you're a star in this league. And what that means, when you're an elite player, when you're the MVP, what that means is it's the heavy load is on your shoulders pretty much every night. And, you know, and unless you're playing on a super team and maybe you can have an off night, or maybe you can take a step back tonight and let somebody else, you know, take the spotlight and really take bear the brunt of the scoring and the load on the team that night. The majority of the elite players that are on these teams aren't living in that scenario. I mean, Luka Doncic is taking it, you know, the brunt of it every single night. Bradley Beal takes the brunt of it every single night. I mean, it's kind of the price of doing business. And, you know, for Nikola, the most productive help is not there with him. And that's really the concern is can you cobble together players each and every night that can take some of that load, that heavy pressure load off of them? And quite honestly, I think, you know, if you're looking at last night's game, the Nuggets treaded water, and Nikola scored a little bit in the third quarter, didn't really score at all in the fourth quarter, and then when they needed him, he did all the scoring with 3 minutes to go and then into overtime. And so I don't think that that's a bad thing. You know, I don't think it's a bad thing. He got his rest, he got back in, he didn't score, and then he bore the brunt of the burden when it was time to win the game. And so, you know, I'm not super concerned about that right now. But that is something that we all need to continue to look at and monitor, I would think, as the season goes on.
I think that's a great point, too, because he's your superstar. And how many times in the past when we were post-Mello did we say things like, well, the Nuggets are good and all, but who's taking that final shot? And now you got that guy taking the final shot, and there are some people mm-hmm. that are like, yeah, but he's taking too many final shots. So,
yeah.
No,
yeah.
I think you laid it out perfectly. That tends to be kind of where I'm leaning on this side. That being said, how is the roster doing? Because, you know, you hear Coach Malone talking about, hey, we can't be leaning on Joker all the time, and fans are saying it, and we're saying it, we're talking about it at least. How's the rest of the roster view that? Do they kind of know what's up? They're like, yeah, let's face it, Joker's the guy. Or do you think there's somebody on this team that's like saying, you know what, I'm going to take that as a personal attack, and I'm going to raise up my game, and I'm going to be a guy we can lean on?
Well, you know, I think they all want to help. You know, they all want to do more. They want to do as much as you possibly can. And, you know, it's just, you know, the reality of the situation is, you know, you look at, like, just taking a step back from the Nuggets and just going in general here. When you look at players across the league, any player, a player has a history. A player, you know, you know, 5, 6, 7 years, especially these kinds of players, what they've done and what they're probably capable of doing. And could a player step up and play above what he has done over the course of his career for a big chunk of time, or maybe for a full season? Maybe, but those instances are so rare. And so with the Nuggets, what you're talking about are there's capable players on this roster. Will Barton is averaging 16.5 points per game. Aaron Gordon is averaging about 14 points per game, and his percentages in production has been way up lately. But over the course of their careers, you understand what they're really able to give over the course of an 82-game season. And so for the Nuggets, it's about, you know, because you know, you don't have a Jamal Murray who, you know, is giving you 20 points every single night and probably way more than that, and big shots and all these kinds of stuff. He's not on the court. And so now who is the most next capable player to do that? Or in the case of the Nuggets, can you find a cut two or three guys and have them be really interchangeable? So Will Barton, you got this burden 55% of the time. Aaron Gordon, you know, 30% of the time. I'm just putting percentages out here, but it's because you know that there's probably not one player left on the roster that is going to get you to 20 points 100% of the time, or 80 to 90% of the time. And so that's where the Nuggets, it really is the biggest issue right there, because then you got to hope that you catch a game from one or two of these guys every single night. Okay, but what if Will Barton and Aaron Gordon are not having a great night? Where do you go then? You know, could Monte Morris be the guy on this particular night? Can Bones Highland, but he's a rookie. Can Facu Campazzo, but he's not a big-time scorer. He can pop in some good scoring games. And so the Nuggets are just in a real bind here and really do have to patchwork this together behind Nikola Jokic. And you hope that Will Barton is the next most consistent player, and Aaron Gordon is as well. But if those two guys aren't performing, or they're having an off night, or maybe even an off week, can you find somebody else? And that's what's been so hard for the Nuggets, and that's what's putting a real burden on their offense. And it will continue to be this way until they can get some players back, or until one of these players can get into a more consistent, high productive space.
Yeah, and that's what's so frustrating too, is because the plan was you had your big three. You kind of had your big four, because I think you do look at Aaron Gordon, who probably fits even better with this team, when Jamal Murray, when Michael Porter Jr. I mean, those two have a chemistry, and PJ and Gordon. So the plan was to be able to have those other guys, you know, stars, maybe not MVP superstar level where Joker is, but stars that could help take some of the pressure off. And unfortunately, you've had to make do. You knew you were getting into without Jamal Murray, but you know, the MPJ thing was certainly a big blow. So we'll see if this team continues to adjust. They got a back-to-back. They're at San Antonio tonight. They are they're underdogs in this one tonight, Chris. It'd be great if they could find a way to finish this series off. They got two on Saturday as well against the Spurs before you finally see this team back at home.
Yeah, and it's one of the reasons. It's one of the things that the NBA carried over from the COVID scheduling, with the bubble. Well, just out of the bubble, I should say, scheduling, which was this idea that you didn't want teams traveling. You wanted to reduce the travel miles and contact, quite honestly. And so you have these instances where you play against, you know, a certain team. You'll fly to a city and you'll just stay there for a couple of games. And that's where the Nuggets are with San Antonio. And, yeah, I mean, it's an interesting team that they have to play, because obviously San Antonio's – it's not a good record, but they're playing better basketball. They're 4 wins in their last 6 games. And one of those was at Golden State, very mysteriously. they're a very capable team of winning. They're a very capable team, a very formidable team. Obviously, Greg Popovich is a really good coach. Play a lot of small ball down there. And so, you know, the Nuggets had a pretty big rebound deficit against the New Orleans Pelicans, and that's obviously in large part due to Jonas Valanciunas being really, really good on the boards. That shouldn't be the case in San Antonio. And San Antonio, obviously, and also defensively, they kind of struggle a little bit. So, the opportunity to get at least one of these two is there if you are on your game, and if you're feeling some energized tonight on the second of a back-to-back. You know, maybe you can get two out of two. I mean, it's not a great basketball team, but certainly one that's not going to beat itself. You have to go in there and really be on top of your game to be able to beat them.
Yeah. Well, we'll see if this this team can finish this road trip off. Chris, what time does coverage get started for you guys tonight?
6 o'clock tonight with the pregame show. Me, Vic, and Hands will be on set for that. Obviously, Katie, Chris Marlowe, and Scott Hastings on site in San Antonio. I'm sure they're looking forward to getting back home here pretty soon. It's been a long haul for everybody on that road trip. But 6 p.m. on Altitude Sports and game at 6:30 tonight.
Yeah, because they started that on November 29th. It seems like a long time ago leading up to that.
Month.
Yeah, man, I mean, and there was so much build up to that Miami game, too, that it does seem like it was longer as well. But, yeah, it would be nice to see the Nuggets back home. In front of their fans. Chris, appreciate you as always, my friend, and we'll catch up with you soon.
All right, man. We'll see you.
See you. Chris Dempsey of Altitude TV. 37 minutes after the hour. We'll take a short break. We got the Thursday night special coming up. Pittsburgh, Minnesota. Who you got? We'll talk about it first. Next, let's get the latest on the local Sports Flash.